What's up, man? Oh, you're muted again.
Yeah, I did it. All right.
Okay.
All right. How's it going?
Another day on this 6/23/2019 edition of Crowdfunded Pod, episode 6, season 1. And if they don't all just be season 1 by the time it's over with, I don't know how we're going to end up doing that, but I've been calling them season 1. And everything that I list them in, but they just may all be season 1, right? Like, it might just be a running count. Like, I don't know yet. I don't know how we're going to do that because we haven't gotten a year into it, nor have we gotten an extreme amount of them done.
Well, I mean, there's a different couple ways you can do it. Seasons, where it's just how in-depth we get, like, if we start to expect.
Are you really about to explain seasons to me?
No, I'm just going to say, like maybe you could do it like that. Like, because
maybe every year could be a season.
Maybe every year. Or we could actually have, like, half seasons and shit. Like, I don't know.
I don't know, motherfucker. Damn. So what you been up to the past couple weeks?
Last couple weeks. Work is one thing. Second thing... been really getting into, I was watching a couple people on Twitch do the Grand Theft Auto, RP, and it's almost like watching TV. Like they've got some developed characters. Like I know I try to do voices like that,
yeah.
But when you can laugh in character and not break character, you're on some different level type shit.
Dude. So there's this, there's this radio show, Walton and Johnson, right? And Walton and Johnson, yeah. One of the guys is just himself. The other guy does, like, three different voices, and he'll have conversations with himself. And it's, like, Billy Ed. There's, like, Billy Ed, who's the redneck in the trailer. Then there's, like, and they're out of Houston. And like, you want to talk about, like, some fuck the FCC people? Like, they, like, have always had their lawyers on retainer because of the shit that they say, right? Like, but they say, but it's like a syndicated morning show for the radio, for the airwaves, right? So they are, like, bound by these FCC rules or whatever, right? And anyway, but he does, like, Billy Ed's the redneck in the trailer. That's the only name I can remember right now. But there's, like, the black guy, and then there's, like, the cross-dresser. That's like, so they've got like the tranny, they've got the black guy, and they've got the redneck, right? And then they've got just like the regular morning show, like, I'm from Texas guy, right? So, but it's freaking hilarious, man. Like, his voices are brilliant. And like, I don't know, like every Martin Luther King Day, the black guy just doesn't show up to work. And they're like, and Billy Ed's like, I didn't know we had the day off today, did you? Mr. Kenneth, I think, is the training. And anyway, this is what the conversation is going to get us kicked off of Twitch right here. But it's freaking hilarious, man. Like, just to break it down, like, the guy, you know, having a conversation with himself with three different characters at one time is pretty insane. You're muted again. Why do you keep muting yourself? Yeah, you can talk all you want to. Nobody can hear you right now. Yep. Just waiting on you to figure it out. You figured it out so easily last time. We lost a viewer. No, we're losing viewers because of this. No. Typing. There is no mute on my end. Yeah, but you're not coming in at all. Let's see. Nope. That's 100% use. Every time we've done this, it's muted like this, it's been your fault. Shake your head, no. User volume. I got the user volume up. You're not muted. Right click in the video. Or what would be my video, or if you're seeing your video. There should be, like, user volume and then a mute with a checkbox. Is that checked? What about on the left-hand corner? Is your microphone muted on the left-hand corner? No. Mute it and unmute it. Let's just see if that fixes it. Waiting. Patiently waiting. Nope. All right, that didn't fix it. Let's just do the call. Let's just hang up and do the call. That's really professional. Every time we do this, something happens. Just, there you go. All right. Can you say something now?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. You're coming in now.
I don't know what it is, man. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It did this three times last time.
Yeah, but you could fix it every time last time. It doesn't matter. You're back. I don't know what we were talking about before. Just the voices. Yeah, him having the conversation with himself. Anyway, all right. So for those of you who don't know what the actual point of this podcast is, the point of it is that we share interviews with people that have a GoFundMe page. It gives you the ability to have more than just a blurb on a website to know what's going on. I do the interview, pre-record it, and then Orcs over here, also known as Porkchop, he has never seen it before now, and so he's watching it for the first time and listening to it for the first time, just like all of you. And then afterwards we'll give our opinion, and you know, like, it really matters, but the chat is always there if you have questions yourself, and I'll try to answer them the best that I can. The campaign this week is Lights On for Lizzie. We're going to go to it here in just a second. Porkchop, he has a second half that comes after we're all done with my piece. Go ahead and just tell him what's up with that.
Pretty much, the second half is me discovering or talking about certain Kickstarters that I may find, you know, interesting for me or for others. They've ranged from electronics to Mother's Day ideas. There were t-shirts at one point. But it runs the gambit everywhere of just, is this something others should see? And hopefully it's something I like or something that you may like. I don't know.
I got you. And then I also want to say this. We do call out the bullshit here. So if we find something that's really shady, we'll present it to you. You still make your own decision, but we'll tell how we feel about it. And yeah. And then all this this beautiful a la carte wall hanging behind me, that's because we're pro Twitch streamers. We do things professional around here, so we got to get our nerd swag in the background, right?
That is true.
All right, let's go ahead. I got to make the transition change, or we'll get the intro music again. All right. And let's switch it over to where you're going to watch. Do you got it keyed up there for you?
I'm on Discord. I mean, I'm on Twitch right now.
Okay. So this is going to mute your mic. I think we've discovered that is one of the problems.
Yes.
But I'll also remember to mute my mic this time in Discord so that it doesn't give you double speak on it or whatever.
Okay.
All right. So we got it keyed up. Let me mute Discord for me. All right. That's muted. Okay. I'm going to play it for you now.
Either a girl named Lizzie Shelley.
Oh, actually, you know what? I need to tell you something. First of all, tell me, did the audio work on that end for just a second? It should have. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay,
now.
All right, I unmuted Discord. Yeah, so I forgot to mention, everything that we do here, I screwed up the audio for the first 10 minutes of this interview. The good thing is he was telling just a preemptive story that had nothing to do with the actual story other than why he was approached for the GoFundMe, right? Because I asked him how he knew the family, and he didn't actually know the family. He had done a GoFundMe in the past, and that GoFundMe had raised a lot of money for this guy that they all call Bicycle Brent. So he was just rode bikes everywhere. And one day he came in and asked, and he was like, he said something about no food, no juice, no, whatever. And so they got to talking to him. And he was, and he also said, look, you look like you've been beat up, like somebody had punched him in the eye, you know, something like in the chin or whatever. Well, in the process, they found out that he was homeless and that he was 70 years old. And so nobody really knew anything about this guy. They just all saw him riding around and kind of figured he was homeless or whatever. But he's like, he didn't look 70, so that kind of, you know, messed with him. But anyway, so he gave him $20. He took a picture, and he was like, in 48 hours, they raised $25,000. And in a week, they raised $50,000. And now the guy is, they got him in a special needs facility, like a special needs retirement facility. And he's just, he's good for life now. So it was just something he was able to do. And because of that, somebody that he knew, reached out to him. And that's what got him involved in this. Anyway, from there, and the guys, sorry, one second. Where is he? His name is Josh Barnett. And how I came across it was, it was just posted in one of our local garage sale things, right? And I reached out to him. That should be all you need from the background, what was missed from the beginning of the interview. But it really does, like, I caught it right at the right moment, and so it picks right into, okay, the actual GoFundMe and what it's all about and stuff. All right, I'll meet you on Discord now and then start playing it again.
A girl named Lizzie Shelley. Elizabeth Shelley is her full name. She goes missing, but this is a couple weeks ago. And her mom's name is Jessica, and it was her brother invited her over. The brother was looking for somewhere to stay. It was raining, and so being a nice sister that she was, she like said, "Sure, brother, younger brother, you can stay at our house," because that's what family does, right? When a younger sibling is having hard times,
right,
he doesn't have anywhere to live, sure, you can come stay at our house. So that's what she did. And it was a Saturday. That was a Friday night. So Saturday morning, they didn't get up to like 9 o'clock or 9:30, which is normal on a Saturday. You sleep in a little bit. So they slept in around 9:30. They go in and check in on their two kids. And they notice that the brother is gone, which wasn't a big surprise because he's kind of a drifter, is what the family has told me. But they notice he was gone, but they also notice that Lizzie was gone, and she's their 5-year-old daughter. And that kind of got them worried after a little bit, because it's also normal for
you're cutting
outside and play with her. On a Saturday.
Yeah, it's totally normal. Go out.
Play with friends, ride your bike, or play outside in the yard. Like, just anyways, but after a while, they couldn't find her. And then after a while, they started getting really worried. So they eventually called the cops. And then they started doing a search party for both her brother, her 21-year-old brother, the mom's brother, and then also Lizzie. And it was later that afternoon, it was like around 4 o'clock, they found the brother with a backpack just chock full of drugs, a couple of pieces of clothes of the daughter, and no girl. Like, where's a 5-year-old girl?
What the hell?
So everyone's freaking out. Like, and you can just do your own conclusion of what you think's happened. 5-year-old girl's missing, 21-year-old uncle is just took off, and he's got a backpack chock full of drugs. What do you think happened? Like, everyone's just like, what just happened? What just happened? And everybody's looking for Lizzie. And so Saturday, like, there's search parties, there's police officers, there's sheriffs, there's cops from neighboring counties and cities. They're driving to Logan to come find this 5-year-old little girl named Lizzie. And then Sunday, the search continues. But now I think it was Sam's Club and local grocery stores like Macy's and Maverick, like, they're donating food and drink to supplies to all of these volunteers that are scouring the entire valley looking for this 5-year-old girl. And there's still nothing. When they find the uncle, he won't talk. Like he won't.
Yeah, I remember that, like, from the news, right? So yeah. Yeah, let's come back to the uncle towards the end, because that definitely is, you know, the big deal here, right? But yeah. But just to keep on track with, you know, so you all these businesses, local businesses are really just turning out to help all these people that have come to try to fire, right?
Yeah, so that they're lining up just food and drinks for the cops. They're out looking for this girl, and this goes on Monday, Tuesday, and I want to say it was Tuesday. I'm trying to remember how they changed the verbiage, but it was no longer a search and rescue. It was more of a recovery.
Yeah, that's what they say, search and recovery. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the verbiage was no longer like, hey, no longer. It made it sound like they weren't expecting to find her alive.
Right.
In the verbiage they said. And anyway, so it was heartbreaking. And I don't know this family, but like, I remember like telling us, like, I've got a 12-year-old son, I've got 8-year-old twins, and we're explaining to them this little girl is missing, and you know, and we're praying family. So like, we're praying for this little girl and praying that like she can be returned to her family and they can find her. And anyways, it was a very hard time in Cache Valley. I think in Utah, even though a lot of people don't know this family, they still.
If you're a decent human being, your heart's, you know, wrenching. And if you're a parent, you know, I'm a parent, you're a parent, like that really tugs at the heartstrings, you know, regardless if you never want to know what they're feeling, right? But it's going to tug at you. But yeah, this is like, so the week before last, I believe, is when it was just really everything was happening, right? If I got my timing correct there.
That's correct. And then it was, I believe it was Wednesday morning that the police were officially filing charges. I think they talked about it on Tuesday of like the, I forgot what the official charges were, but I think like attempted murder, kidnapping, and I don't know, that there was a third one. And those were officially filed against the uncle on Wednesday morning. And then that's when it came to find out that his attorney advised him to cooperate with the police, that if he would tell them or show them where the body was, the negotiation was that he wouldn't get the death penalty.
So let me, from June 5th, I just pulled it up here in the Salt Lake Tribune. He faces charges of aggravated murder, child kidnapping, obstruction of justice, and abuse or desecration of a human body, and now he is being faced with charges of rape of child and sodomy of a child. So that, I mean, that's from the 5th, but I mean, just we, I don't want to harp on it because it's disgusting, but it is a disgusting, you know, he's getting the full amount of charges he should if he's guilty of this, right? But anyway, continue. Yeah, go ahead and continue. Sorry.
So he, so this is Wednesday, and I think as part of the negotiation, which I don't think people that assault women and children should have to negotiate. Like, you have no right. This at the gospel. Oh, gosh. But whatever. But he still negotiated so that if he told them where the body was, then he wouldn't get the death penalty. So that's what he did. I heard a couple of different times. I thought from watching his attorney be interviewed, one time he explained it, then a second time I think they released him, but he was obviously like cuffed and people were with him, and I think he took them and he led them to the body.
Okay, so, yeah, they didn't release him, but they took him on a ride to go find
him. Yeah,
they
took him on a ride.
Yeah,
he had guns on him and he was all locked up, whatever. But he, and then he like walked, and the crazy thing was, it was like a quarter of a mile from the mom's house, in an old abandoned, the house was for sale and it was in a shed and it was just under some debris. It was only buried like 2 feet down. Anyways, they found the body, and apparently he'd said that he had wanted at least that for the family to have closure so they could find the body. So they found the body. I believe it was that Wednesday. So, and I had mixed feelings personally. Like I remember like when they're looking for, like in my head, I'm like, okay, am I praying that they find her and she's dead? Or am I praying that she's alive, but she's in some human trafficking, and just insert the worst possible things will happen to a 5-year-old girl up until she's 20. I mean, like the rest of her life is ruined. The kids that are like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, what's worse? That's what I personally was trying to wrap my head around. Like, am I praying that she's passed away so she doesn't have to go through any of that suffering, or that she's alive and hopefully they didn't?
Well, no, you can't, man. I mean, that's not a decision that a human, you know, or someone like us can make. So, I mean, yeah, you're going to struggle with that. So you just talk to, well, I mean, when I talk to God about those kinds of things, I mean, I'm just like, hey, you know, whatever the best outcome is, right? That's what I want to see happen. So, and you know, maybe this is the best outcome, right? I mean, she's up there now. She's not here, right?
And that's what I believe too. And she's not suffering, and she's not in some sick human trafficking, whatever. Anyways.
Yeah.
So that's what that happened. So that was like a sad, not happy, but just like, I don't know, just that there was closure there. I guess from outsiders. And I think it started to be closure for the family. And then it was later on that night that, honestly, it was like 10:30 that night, someone from the family reached out to me asking if I would help them do a GoFundMe for the family, because people were reaching out to them saying, hey, I want to give, I want to help, I want to support, I want to donate. And the family was like, okay,
how do we deal with this right now?
How do we do this?
Yeah.
They reached out to me asking for pointers and tips and stuff, and honestly, it was 10:30 at night, and I've got other businesses that I do that make money, and I was like super tired and stressed out and exhausted. And I at first told them, I said, hey, call me tomorrow around 10 o'clock and I'll talk then. But they kept asking questions that night. So I was like, you know, what the heck? I got on a phone call, and like an hour later, I got more info than honestly I wanted to. I got the whole info about the family and everything, and it just, and at that point, I was involved. I was like, you know what? Here, instead of telling you how to do this, I'll just do it. So that's what I did. I just did it.
That's cool, man. It's the right thing to do.
Thursday morning, I just set it up. I was up to like 1 o'clock writing the script, if you will, that would go on the GoFundMe, and then finding the picture, and then the next morning, first thing, I on the GoFundMe and just started mass marketing, sharing it different places, advertising it, and trying to raise money for the family to go from there. I probably should insert, there was a couple other GoFundMes that were started.
Yeah, I did see those, yeah.
And I know one of them, they were asking for like either $200,000 or $250,000. And I reached out to the girl that like set that up, that was the admin, whatever. And I said, hey, I've done this before. Let me know when you got a minute, because I like to help you guys out. But you can't ask for $250,000 out the gate, especially when a child is missing. Like, we don't even know. Like, that just sounds super scammy, fraudulent. Like, well, no one's going to support that. No one asked for $2,000.
Well, and I don't think that's the one I found. I think the one I found was a much lower number, but it also looked like it had just been turned off. Because I assume because of the one that you have set up, and that is kind of the reason why we do this as well. It all started off with like a vetting and a verification, because the Jersey couple and the homeless guy out there that ripped off everybody, you know, that whole story. So that's exactly why we do this. I mean, if you, episode 1 and 2 are terrible, to be honest with you, but as far as audio goes, but in the beginning we have a good intro where we play the, you know, news snippet or whatever from that. But we've gotten away from that to more just like, okay, make up your own mind, but we're going to share as much info as we can. Anyway, that's the right thing to do, man. Like, I really, you know, appreciate the way that you handled it. Just like, look, man, you know, I understand everything that's going on now. Let me just do this. So that's really cool of you. I want to come to the page itself. So it's lights on for Lizzie. There's a little piece in the blurb there about neighbors leaving their lights on. Can you just, you know, how did that come about? Was it just something somebody started to do? Like, maybe if she sees the glow, she can come, or what? How did that come about?
Saturday is the day that she went missing. So let me go back and see. I remember what day that was. Saturday the 1st. And there was a candlelight vigil either Saturday or Sunday. And at the candlelight vigil, somebody had the idea to like, hey, everyone here, let's all turn our porch lights on for Lizzie. So that if she's out there like looking and she's like looking for someone, sorry, you know, emotional here, but like that way, if she has somewhere to go. So we're going to leave our porch light on for Lizzie so that she has somewhere to go. That this is my, you're welcome here, Lizzie. If you're out there and you're lost and you're scared, we'll leave our lights on for you so you can come to my home and you're welcome here. So that's how it started. And I just like that. And I didn't create it. Like that was somebody else's idea that was shared at the first candlelight vigil. And
that's a great idea. It's a really good, unity bringing thing, right? Like it's not just that, but exactly what you said, you know, like, oh, here's the light on, come get help, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, I really like it. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're leaving our light on for you and you're welcome here. So that night when I was, you know, after the phone call, I'm thinking about everything and I was like, okay, what are we going to call her GoFundMe? And I thought, I really like that. Lights on for Lizzie. And I put in a number 4 for that because I just thought, I don't know, it's for her. And it was a little bit different to throw in a number there.
It's a little cuter. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. So, I mean, a kid would love that, right? Like spelling 4 upside down or something, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. No, that's great. I like to bring it forward and just, it was a good spontaneous thing. Right. Yeah. So initially this was 15 grand, to help cover the funeral. And you do say here that they did not have life insurance. You know, personally for me, I've always just, it's that thing when you're signing your, insurance at the end of the year and you're like, well, I don't want to be dark and jinx anything, but you know, I always like to throw this message out because I've heard this story before, you know, get life insurance on yourself and your kids. Like, you know, this is the kind of stuff that you just never know is going to happen. Right. And you really want to be dealing with that at this point. But they didn't have life insurance. It was at 15 grand as of right now. I just refreshed it a few minutes ago. 29,250 has been raised, so we're above the goal. 939 donors. It's been shared 7,000 times, and there's 1,100 followers. Anything else just in summation, right? I mean, obviously, this is just straight up to help the family. Do you know if they... it's probably way too early because I know the funeral was just last week, but do they have anything else in mind to honor her or any of the family members, like a scholarship or anything like that? Or is this just strictly like, hey, this is to help the family out however they see fit?
All this money's going to the mom to kind of help them out, because a big part of it is kind of like the next chapter. So like, obviously they will never live in that house again. Like they're renting that house, but like the trauma of going back to that house, just, so they're never going to live in that house again. So this is mainly going to the family to like, that's a traumatic experience. If that happened to you or me, there probably would be like counseling or therapy or something like that to deal with that. Like,
well, not only that, when do you go back to work? Right. Like does normalcy ever even take over? But yeah, I like to have a straight picture of where it's going. Right. Just to understand it better. But that's some things that people don't think about. Right. OK, so the 15 grand literally covers the funeral cost and like maybe a decent headstone. Right. And then from there you go, OK, but the family still has everything else to deal with. Like everything we just named off.
During that time. So it's kind of funny because my background is insurance. So I'm a licensed insurance agent, home and life insurance. So I explain this to people that they should have life insurance, but they always look at me, not always, sometimes they look at me like I'm selling them a vacuum, like an overpriced vacuum. And I was like, no, I promise, you're going to die someday.
That is the one thing, death and taxes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, I tell my wife to bury me in the backyard. And I was like, that's funny to say with your buddies when you're chilling, but like, you can't bury a human body in the backyard.
Yeah, let's talk about legalities here, man. There's certain places a body can go. Yeah.
So
to get morbid.
I tell people the same thing, like $20 life insurance policy, and like give your wife $150,000, $250,000, and it's $3 to add on your kids. Not one kid, like $3 is like 20.
All your kids. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's a no-brainer. Because I tell people, like, hey, you. Anyways, but you're right. There's the burial portion of it, but then it's like, do you really want to go back to work the Monday after you're burying your wife or your son or your husband or your daughter? Like, what?
And then just to touch also on what you said, this is not, okay, my husband of 50 years died in his sleep last night, which alone requires grief counseling. This is somebody lost their child. They're never going to get over this, right? So, yeah, we don't have to harp any more about where the money's going to go. I just like to have a good little summary, right? So, just last thing, man, you know, sum it up, you know, just, you know, your last thing you want to tell somebody about, you know, whatever, as far as this is concerned, go ahead and just sum it up for me.
Is a summary more,
it's not really a summary. What I'm asking you is just, what's the last thing you want to tell people about this family, about what happened, your last thoughts on it.
Last thoughts on the family. Like, it's, they have been like super strong. Like, I have been strengthened by this family's strength through this whole thing. Like, they did a candlelight vigil and the mom spoke at it, and that was super inspiring to hear her words. And just like, she gave a couple of quotes, I think from Gandhi, of just like how a single light can like light 1,000 candles from one single person, and like that we should be a light. And I was like, wow, like that's pretty deep. That's pretty strong coming from a mother that just had to bury her daughter. Like that's powerful to me. One last cute memory about Lizzie is that in her obituary, she said that whenever she would see an ambulance, she would always blow a kiss at the ambulance to like send them love, because you don't know what that person is going through that's in the ambulance. They're hurting and they need some love. So she would blow a kiss. And I was like, you know what? Like, me and my kids now do that in Lizzie's honor, in her memory. And I think more people can do that. Like, hey, something in that ambulance or the side of the road and blow them a kiss, because like, they need some extra love. Like, I will never forget that as long as
I'm. No, that's a wonderful, that's really like, that's such a kid thing to do, right? Like, it, I mean, you know, I have a 4-year-old, so my 4-year-old definitely has all those little mannerisms. So that's just like an awesome thing, right? That you, it really is. Like, I love it, dude. I really do. Back home, you'll see a lot of people, ambulance goes by, or you go by like a cross on the side of the road. You know, they you know, a little kiss to heaven, or you know, you'll see them nod their head in prayer. But I mean, Mississippi is a lot like Salt Lake as far as being very religious goes, right? But that's regardless of all that, that's just a really beautiful thing, man. That's awesome. I'll probably teach that to my kids now, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right. Well, look, man, I'm going to stop recording. I'm not going to hang up just yet. But I just want to say I really appreciate it. And, you know, we'll get this out to as many people as we can.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. All right. 1 second. Okay, so everything should be good now. Switch it over to this. All right, I can hear you, so should all be good.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts?
Okay, first of all, it's terrible to lose a child. But to have a family member, you know, do it, and then just oh, it's like, well, thanks for letting me in, let me kill your kid and I'm gone. But you know,
that's fucked up. At this point, like, we do, like, I mean, yeah, it's fucked up. We have to say allegedly, right? Like I don't know anything about this case, and just for lawsuit purposes, right? Like, I don't, yeah, let's just say allegedly. But it's fucked up. If he did it, it's the, I mean, who cares?
I think you're muted on Discord.
Yeah, I am. All right, now you can hear me.
Yeah.
I was muted on Discord because it's because I didn't want you to have double, you know, mic.
Yeah, watching that.
Anyway, point being, yeah, it sucks, dude. It really sucks. It's, I mean, like, yeah. So what do you think?
This is one of those situations like that infant situation. There's really nothing you can say.
Can we stop getting the kids dying, right, for a little bit? Can we just,
yeah.
I mean, it's, can we just, can we have, I don't know, somebody that their house burnt down, but everybody's okay? Can we just, like, we're not attacking Kickstarters.
It's just we've had some dark ones for the past
the past few weeks, and it fucking sucks. Like, from the vets to a couple of kids, like, son of a bitch. But yeah, so what do you think?
Going back. A couple things that I could pull from this Kickstarter is it's not that the community got together so much. The fact that there were multiple Kickstarters, that's good. The fact that all the businesses were like throwing in food and water for the search, that's good. The fact that there was a candlelight visual, that's pretty good. And the fact that they was able to get that whole light for Liz from that, you know, there's a lot of, and I hate to be wax poetic on this situation. There's a lot of light in this dark time.
Good use of the word wax.
Yeah. There's a lot of positivity from this little outreach.
Well, that's one thing I'll say about Salt Lake in that aspect, like the greater Salt Lake area, which is just basically the Big Valley, right? Because there's all these towns that make up Salt Lake, but every community is like a community, right? It's like a bunch of small towns with a small town vibe in a larger area. It's kind of strange in that aspect. But anytime, I mean, I saw this on the news and just following the stories on the, you know, like local Facebook news articles, just like everybody else. Right. Anyway, but the, donate link, I put it in, the chat already, but just do a search lights on for Lizzie with the number 4, instead of FOR, and that'll get you to it. Let me pull it up real quick. So they're at $29,300 raised by 940 people in 24 days, right? And of course, all this goes straight to the family. If you can donate, go ahead. In my opinion, go ahead and give what you can, right? They've covered the funeral. Now everything else just goes to the same thing we always talk about, which is, you know, when do they go back to work? Like, how can you go back to work after your child has, you know, passed like this, right? I'm sure there'll be legal funds. I mean, it's just a lot. And all this does is it alleviates a financial burden, right? That's all that kind of stuff does.
I feel like there really wouldn't be that much legal fund because this is going to be handled by the state. The state is going to go after that.
Well, you never know, man. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, you never know. So, all right. Well, final thoughts on it.
All right. Final thoughts. I'm going to give to this. I'm going to give to it. It's just, like I said, it's just the fact that the community came together. That's one thing the family needed at that point, to feel like they are not alone in this, right? And that there are others who are going to help you. That is something that was great that was pulled away from this whole situation. So yeah, I'm going to give to it, and I just I'm sorry for everyone involved. And it's just,
it's not over yet, right? Like, they still have to deal with the whole trial and just everything being brought back out. So, and that'll be more time off that they're going to need. And, you know, it's going to be rough. It really is.
Yeah.
So yeah, same here. If you guys can donate, you know, $5, whatever, go ahead and give it. All right. I guess we'll go ahead and switch on over to yours. I got your intro all keyed up. So here we go.
All right. We'll be right back.
right. Yeah. So your intro music worked. It's done. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the biggest asshole in the old chat.com chat rooms. He runs Adult Swim from his bathroom while he's taking a shit on everyone. He's actually taking a shit. That's how he gets his jollies. His name is Porkchop. I don't want to start any rumors or anything, but he does like to eat a live mouse occasionally. Go ahead, Porkchop.
Well, my cat won't do it, so I got to teach it. You know, I got to teach it to the ways of the wild.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got two presentations this week, one small and one big. I want to go ahead and start with the big.
So let's just go ahead and say I've never seen these. Just like with the previous, where you had never seen it before. All reactions from me will be initial, and all questions will, you know, I've never seen or I have no fucking idea what you're about to show us.
Yeah. All right. So the first thing I'm going to bring up, and I'm going to post it right now, is coming from Indiegogo,
Indiegogo. By the way, you spell that IE. Right, I thought just an I. I couldn't find Indiegogo for the longest time. Like, I had to search it every once in a while. All right, so Indiegogo Ultimate All-in-One Gaming Keyboard Power Vessel. A bunch of dashes at the end of that. Yes. But if you're trying to find it, that's how you find it. It's in chat. Go ahead.
All right, so the too long, didn't read situation on this right here. Short synopsis. It's the world's first wireless hi-fi audio and all-in-one remote. So you're going to have your gamepad, your mouse, your keyboard.
All-in-one remote controller. Let me say that you cut out for a second. So all-in-one remote controller. All right.
Yes. It's got Bluetooth. So it means it's going to connect to your Apple TV, your Fire TV, your little Android video boxes, smart TV, you know, just anything like that. Like I said, iOS, Android, anything. And I have a feeling, but I don't think they've talked about it. It is Bluetooth, which means it should connect to PlayStation. But I don't know. Maybe there's something that's blocking it. I don't know. But
well, there might be firmware. You know, just because it's got Bluetooth doesn't mean firmware can screw it up.
That's the reason why I said, there's somewhere around there, and it might, and then somebody, you know, might be able to patch it. I don't know. But it's hands-free. And it even has a camera selfie function. So if you're like across the room and you want to take that picture, click, you know, you're good. So it's got a backlit keyboard. It's got a built-in battery.
Can you fly
a
fighter jet with it?
I'm pretty sure you can do a video game of a fighter jet because I don't know if you know that. I was about to say, I think
Does Lou Gossett Jr. need one of these?
I don't think so.
Fighter Jet. What's up, Sass? What's up, buddy? SAS Lambo.
I think Lou Gossett Jr. is analog. I don't think he's going to be digital in this situation. This is not going to be Lou Gossett Jr.
So yeah, we had a podcast on Thursday on Aladreyu in which I told you the story of Iron Eagle. I told you the story of Iron Eagle while simultaneously telling you the story of an Iranian fighter pilot that saw a UFO and almost died.
Yes.
It was brilliant. Yeah. It was amazing. And I'm sorry you missed it. But we are hunting for Lou Gossett Jr. If we could get an interview with Lou Gossett Jr., Academy Award winner Lou Gossett Jr., it would be fantastic.
Classically trained.
Cool, man. I don't know what's wrong with your internet, but I hope you got it fixed. Yeah, classically trained Academy Award winner, Lou Gossett Jr., star of the acclaimed movie franchise, Iron Eagle 1, 2, and 3. Go ahead. Yeah.
Wasn't he also, and not just to break the last name, wasn't he also in Officer and a Gentleman? Wasn't he the...
Oh, yeah. I think it's how he won the Academy Award. He was the one that was all like, got his foot in his back and like, what was it? What was the famous speech? Because Lou Gossett Jr., we just want to know if you met Obama prior to his election bid. Because you and Obama sound a lot alike, man. I just want to say, like, I just want to know if that Iron Eagle motivational speech at the end of the montage. I want to know if that was an inspiration for Obama. I just want to know. Just want to know, because I've got a theory, and that's part of it. It's part of my work in theory. Okay, so what was the speech from Officer and a Gentleman, though, man? What was the fucking speech? Like, where he's like, I got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, he's like,
I got nowhere else to go.
Why don't you just quit? Because the entire town is trying to get him.
Yeah,
he goes, because I got nowhere else to go.
Yeah. All right, it was a good fucking movie. Anyway, so Lou Gossett Jr., if you're out there, if you're listening, if you wouldn't mind, you know, sharing us on your Twitter account, that'd be awesome because we love you. So we got way off track. Let's go back to the remote control.
Going back to it. It's a gaming controller, which means you can play games with it. I don't know if you can control games with a game. So first of all, if you're going to be playing, you know, like your Fortnites or your PUBGs on your phone or
when you get on, you're going
to be playing on the intrawebs. You'll be able to play it with like
www.server.fortnite.server.server.com.
That's that, yeah. But it also has a handheld optimized keyboard. So you've got a controller, you got the keyboard, you've got the universal remote. So, I mean, you could be doing it all while doing nothing with this whole situation. And the fact that it's small. You can take it anywhere. So if you're like connect to a tablet, or you connect to a phone, or you connect to the smart TV, or whatever, you just be like, it's in my pocket. I pull it up. It's there. Bam. Good to go.
I really like the whole, you know, like Xbox, because it's so hard to type on an Xbox, right? So like, I get to have that as a little wireless keyboard to type on an Xbox. Yes. I like that. And for the phone, I guess if like I was, for some god awful reason, typing a research paper on my phone. I mean, I guess that would be cool, you know. So, what? How did you find it? What do you like about it?
Did a search on Indiegogo for up and coming electronics. I went with just a generic, you know, up and coming. And this, what I separated this. There was some other keyboards like this, but what I like about it is that even though it is Bluetooth, it has an aux. So
is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
So even if you've got, it's late at night, you're connected to the smart TV, but people are asleep, but you really want to listen to something, but you don't want to be too loud. You connect now you've got a wireless headset that is wired right there. So I think that's a thing. Same thing goes with the video game.
That's a thing. Yeah. So, all right, how much does it cost? Is it Catholic friendly, or is there like a Pornhub button on it?
I think this is going to be Catholic friendly, but she would have to learn. She would have to learn it.
She would have to learn how to put a macro to make it Pornhub accessible. Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
So it comes in
two different colors. For two different prices. The solid black one, that is the just standard one to go. The early bird special is $59. The estimated shipping is August 2019. 201 out of 5.
Would
a Pornhub
controller be more like a Pip-Boy, right? Because you'd need that hand free, right? So,
I don't know.
I mean, how would you just type like this? Is that what you would do, right?
I don't know. I don't have you queued up, but I'm pretty sure you're jerking off there.
You guessed it, buddy. You guessed it. I was typing and doing the masturbatory, you know, movements all at the same time.
All right, so the early bird special of the
black
controller.
You said two colors.
Yeah, yeah. It's 201 out of 500 have claimed the black one. The white one is $65. It's a $10 difference. Only 17 out of 100 have claimed. Same thing as the first one, August 2019. Shipping, Then from there, you could get two packs for $98, which is you're going to save like a little bit of money.
Sass is wondering, does it have wand capabilities for gesture-based controls?
I don't know if
like
it has.
Even like a six-axis type of thing, right? Like the old PlayStation.
I don't believe it's going to have that functionality just yet. I just know that it does. It has, I'm pretty sure like it says the mouse situation and directional sticks. So I don't think it has the turn.
So first generation, it doesn't have.
Yeah. From there, it goes to a two pack. And then from there, you can change the colors out. So you can have one black one. One white,
that one is a white one.
Yeah, for like $103, you actually save a little bit of money. You save a little bit of money.
That's a good Wisconsin deal. That's a good Wisconsin deal right there. You save a little money, get a couple for you and the wife.
Yeah, that's true. After that, it becomes more the the distribution type situation. You get four packs, the 10-pack. The 10-pack, you get 10-pack you get for $448
for 10 of them?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The regular price for doing 10 would be $1,190. So you're getting 62% off.
Look at you with them math skills. Them,
I know,
them
right?
Russ Jones High School graduate, 18 years at JCJC to get your two-year degree in math skills.
It was 10 years.
10 fucking years to get your two-year degree from JCJC.
Now, here's the situation.
We know
right
about
here,
okay? JCJC. We know about you and your slave house.
Situational.
We did have slave
situational
houses.
Is it ships worldwide. Ships worldwide. 7 out of 10 people have claimed the 10-pack. So I could see this.
Well,
becoming
the 10-pack is if you're like got a store and you're trying to sell the 10-pack, right?
Yeah.
So I mean that's in all these Kickstarters. You go down the line, they usually have some kind of buy a bunch of them so you can be a reseller deals. Mm-hmm. So, do you like it enough you'd claim it, or not for you, but maybe for some other people?
I'm actually going to look into it further. I actually may get one of these. Because
do like to type on Xbox.
Yes, I do the Xbox. I have a PlayStation 4. It would be nice to see if it could eventually connect to it. I have Bluetooth on the computer. So if I'm playing like retro games and stuff like that, it'd be cool to have that right there.
Oh yeah, yeah. So can one controller be connected to multiple devices? Right. Like I mean, obviously
They haven't really said it in all the information, but since it is Bluetooth and you can have multiple Bluetooth signatures, I'm pretty sure there's a will, there is a way.
Okay. So yeah, it would suck that you would have to sync it if you had to sync it every time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But I also feel like it's going to be one of those one button, sync where it's like, okay, bloop, and then you just go into, you know, the search. It started in, I can't really get a date, but it's got 4 days left.
Days to claim it. Wow. That's not long at all. Hop on it.
I know. The goal was $5,000. Okay. They have $43,494 with 581 backers.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Right. It's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is one of those things right now that's, and then, let's see the updates. They're saying that they're getting the audio optimization going. They're going to try to kick off the mass production pretty soon. So right now you're getting ground floor like these.
Yeah, truly ground floor. I got you. Yeah, yeah. So they're building these in their garage right now.
Another thing that they've done right now for Kickstarter, I mean, not Kickstarter, but the GoFundMe's and whatnot, whatever. If you get through the Indiegogo, you get a protective case. And Lord knows, you know, protective cases.
If you got kids.
Yeah.
If you got kids, which I have kids. So, you know, they like to throw things because they like to show how strong they are, feel their muscles, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, what's number two? Bring
number
up number two.
Two.
Go ahead and post it in chat.
All right. Number two. is something that I just need to talk.
Oh, do we have to have a campfire moment? Is Dr. Phil going to come out?
Alright, so
Bad Gene, a new mindful musical instrument.
Yeah, so let me, before I say anything, let's link the YouTube so we can watch the YouTube for a second.
You want me to watch the YouTube?
Well, it's going to be important that you see this YouTube
first. Alright, well, so is this the first video on it, or is it the second video? I mean, the Bad Gene sounds for a rainy day, is that what you're talking about?
No, I got it. It's the...
Send right here. Let me on the face of my books.
Alright, so go to face...
Facebook.com.
Got to log in.
No, you logged into Facebook? What's wrong with you? This is live internet TV. It's right here for you. Live internet TVs. So did I mention that Porkchop's a communist?
Not a communist.
AOC is his best friend in that he wants to move to Canada or SAS's because they have the universal health care and he loves that idea. And Justin Trudeau he's got pictures. So you can't see it from the camera angle right now, but Justin Trudeau pictures all over his wall.
You see Twitch. Sometimes they say that an empty can rattles the most. So.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. See, communism. Yeah. Communism. Pure commie talk. All right, so let's paste and go to the YouTubes. Let me pause. All right, now I'm going to have to make it where I can do a window capture. Thank you so much for making me do that with no notice. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You're welcome. And you're just welcome. Like, oh, hey, here you go. Here you go. All right, so let me make it visible, covering up chat. There we go. That works. All right, I'm going to play this now. Oh, I like it. I like that wind chime.
It's a sound that reveals the silence in each and every one of us.
Yes,
that's
it
why
does.
We've made it so simple to play, so everyone could feel what we felt. Mindful teachers, practitioners, musicians.
Just like sitting on the front porch.
My name is Ortav, and I'm a handpan maker and a musician.
Handpan.
3 years ago, my second child, Luam, was born. With 2 kids, my own business, and my personal life, it became challenging to find a moment to stop and just listen. But Gene was created in that specific time.
He likes that.
He likes it. Experiencing a new kind of sound.
It's got perfect pitch.
A sense of serenity and clearness.
And he's hand making
them. Gene approached us with an early prototype. It's not every day that you meet a team that gathers around an idea the way they do. Designing a new musical instrument is something that we had to be a part of.
There's a lot of different...
Gene produces one of the longest acoustic decay times in the world. Up to 1 minute
iterations.
Clear mind. This effect is generated by hanging each tube in a specific calculated point, which is called...
Are they telling me that their instrument is spiritual?
...in its maximum potential and creates a unique...
Is that what they're telling me?
Just
obligatory white girl yoga pose.
Like I said... I'll get my opinion in a second. I'm just...
I can choose the right timing, and I can choose what tune I
want to play. Align them chakras,
the sound
girl.
Is remarkable. It really resonates all around, so it doesn't matter if it's indoors or outdoors. I can really take...
I don't think she's a white girl anymore.
The 8 tubes create a full scale.
I don't know, but there's the white dude.
The number of optional sets, each in the...
They've got some kind of strain, like, they're definitely European.
Well, they're from Tel Aviv, Israel.
Oh, are they Israeli?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Way off. I like that beard that dude's got going on. That's gonna be me one day.
Yeah.
The hair and the beard. Yep, absolutely. Sir Franch. That's really spiritual place.
Sounds of Bajin should be shared with the world.
Why not now, kid? Why not now?
And become a part of our family.
Oh, look at the backpack! Look at the backpack and the skateboarding down. All right. Let me just get rid of that. Okay. Yeah. Spirits, communist, spiritual. Eh? That's what Sass said in the chat. That I was watching all right. That wonderful video. I want to know your thoughts. I think I kind of gave mine as I was watching it. So,
so homeboy is proud that he invented the wind chimes. Like tubular bells don't exist. Let me tell you who's going to buy this. Trust fund hippies who's going to sit around with a $600. No, it's going to be a trust fund hippie with a $600 instrument telling me about how that capitalism has.
Dude, it is straight up wind chime size.
Like, he's the type of people who are going to have this are going to tell you, first of all, I'm a vegan and this is a bajin. And this is my vegan bajin.
Right after that, they break out the didgeridoo, right? Yeah. I got it. Who wants the didgeridoo? Who wants the machine?
Whoever buys this, their first song is going to be called Meat is Murder. That's it.
No, it'll be called, so like, this one time I was driving from Ole Miss back home, and there was nothing on the radio that I wanted to listen to, and somehow I got on public radio, and I listened to 2.5 hours, because it's a long-ass drive from Oxford to Laurel. I was like, 2.5 hours of tones and overtones, a spiritual journey. That is what the first fucking song is going to be called, something along those lines. If you can find tones and overtones, a spiritual journey brought to you by your public radio system, then please let me know, because it was a spiritual experience just as advertised.
I will say that the bajin comes in different.
Is it bajin or is it bajin?
To be honest,
or is it bajin?
I feel like it's one thing.
I feel like they're trying. I feel like it's like an Indian trying to say send pictures of your vagina.
Yeah.
Send pictures of Bajin.
I feel like it's one word, and his accent is losing the translation into my accent, which is losing the translation into what it actually was. So I feel like there's three levels of wrong. That's what's happening.
It is all wrong. It is all wrong on multiple levels. We started off here, and now we're here, and we finished so, here.
And we're gonna the thing jump about off the it roof. Is, it is a beautiful. It's a beautiful sound.
It's a beautiful sound in my grandmother's garden as I'm sitting on the porch.
Now,
as I'm sitting on the front porch, just listening to the wind chimes, looking at the hummingbirds.
Wind chimes are great, but this right here is some hipster bullshit if I've ever seen one. I have yet to shit on an Indiegogo or a crowdfunded board. Guy, I swear to God, man, all you've done was take some wind chimes and put it in some Tupperware.
Yeah, but they did have like several different iterations there. I mean, you saw the 3D modeling. When I think spiritualism, I think 3D modeling. But
if you think four wind chimes are good, wait till you see our beta 5. And holy then coming shit. This summer. Six
motherfuckers dropping that sixth wind chime this summer, boys, over here at the Surf Ranch. Dude, the Surf Ranch.
Now,
the Surf Ranch?
Yeah. When I hear the tone of this music, the first words to lyrics that I hear are going to be, it's going to be, vaccines don't work, essential oils do. We are all one spirit. And Gaia is the Mother Earth. These are things that I just like.
Gaia is the Mother Earth, you fucking commie.
So, would I buy it? It is not for me.
Would you buy it for your grandma?
Would I buy it for my grandma? No. No, because she would have had a wind chime at this point.
Would you buy it for Kathy?
Would I buy it for... No! What was she doesn't want that.
Does it have any redeeming qualities whatsoever?
Not in my opinion. Like, I swear, like, anybody who buys this is going to try to bang the dreadhead hippie chicks.
A bunch of filthy heathens is what you're saying.
Who don't believe in materialism, but let me show you my 20 healing crystals.
Yeah, don't believe in material. You're absolutely right. There, no materialism, but buy this eight. How much was it, by the way?
This was a almost a $700.
How much have they raised?
No, it's $400.
$400. And how much have they raised? And what's their goal?
The goal, for some reason, was $400. Actually, they didn't. They didn't even have a goal. It was just like buy our shit. They have reached $221,731
for some goddamn wind chimes.
Yeah, wind chimes.
Are you fucking serious? Holy shit. Is he like friends with George Michael or some shit? Is George Michael still alive? Did Louis Gossett Jr. buy one? If Louis Gossett Jr. bought one, then if he bought one, it's straight up legit, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, he helped them kids. He helped them kids save that guy and blow up all those innocent people in Iran. I mean, I'm just saying. And commit treason against the U.S. government.
I will say that the one thing that does sell it for me is the backpack.
The backpack. I see they didn't get into the backpack very much in that video. I want to know more about that backpack. Is it solar powered? Does it have some like RFID protection built into it?
Not at all. Why?
Is it shock resistant? I don't know. Because I'm going to put my wallet in there too. Fuck. I mean, I just want to know. Do I get the backpack with the instrument?
You don't have money. You're just backpacking across Europe. Just peace, brother. I'm with you.
No, but it pays for itself. It pays for itself because as you're backpacking across Europe, you're going to places like Greece where there is absolutely no turmoil, or France where it's 100% safe, and you're playing your hippie music and you're making your money as you go across because you just need enough to survive. Hey guys, let me show you my bajin, and then you get hit because some Indian dude's like, I get all the bajin around here.
So it's been in project, and the timeline was October 2015, first prototype. Okay, all right. So around 2016,
there's a lot of hippie yoga teachers that have bought them some expensive wind chimes.
They did. They started assembly in April of 2016. But what gets me is that even though they were assembling it, they didn't have their first product designed until August 2016. So what were they building?
Wind chimes.
And then they go, well, even though we've got our product design and we've done team assembly, here's our first industrial design in August 2016. Wow. That's cool. Mass production started in November 2018. In December 2018, they had 557.
Did you say 2018th there for a second?
I did for a second. December 2018, 557% funded on Indiegogo. And then supposedly February 2019 was when he started shipping out everything. I think this is stupid and dumb as hell. But you do you, boo-boo. I'm sorry. This is not for me. This is not Kathy-friendly. But I'm pretty sure...
I think it's pretty Kathy-friendly.
I feel like... Kathy. I'm pretty sure that some guy in a really tight pair of jeans and a scarf around his neck in some coffee house that I've never even heard of jizzed his pants the first time he saw this shit right here. I'm pretty sure that somebody in Portland, Oregon, who only drinks craft beer that tastes like ass, really got excited about this. And in conclusion,
yeah, he definitely
I
has
feel
a
like,
man bun. Yes, ass.
And I
man
feel
bun.
That a very angry, aggressive lesbian in San Francisco was really excited.
Second
about
time
right
we
here.
Got kicked off of Twitch today.
I know. Yeah.
Because you're stereotyping angry lesbians in San Francisco.
Yes.
And we do
yes.
not condone that here at the crowdfunded no. podcast.
So, is it for me? No. Is it for mom? No. Is it for anybody in Mississippi? There's probably somebody at
three.
USM.
There are three people. One
I feel like there's somebody
at
USM
and two at Ole Miss. And it's somebody's girlfriend at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So,
in summation, you don't like this product.
Oh my god.
Do I not like this product? Let me list the ways. Wait, I just did. Wow. All right,
I'm sorry, Lambeau, that you had to see this. I'm sorry
that you had to see B8 on these wind chimes. Next iteration, hummingbird feeder built in.
Now, if you start doing shit like that, where there's like solar lights in the bottom, maybe. You're just like, baby, let me play you a song with my people. And like it turns blue.
Sailor Moon up in this motherfucker. Yeah.
Hey, don't talk shit about Sailor Moon.
Hey, you stood up.
Don't talk shit about Sailor Moon.
I'd get swifty with Sailor Moon. So, ending it on that awkward anime moment.
Right there with my Say Orc Moon.
Yeah, Say Orc Moon. Oh, is that what that is? Say Orc Moon?
Yeah.
That's so cute. You're so... Yeah, whatever.
Go ahead and say it! So we get kicked off for the third time!
You're gay. You're fucking gay. That's gay. There we go. That is our goal every podcast, to get kicked off of Twitch 3 times. Before we ever reach any kind of status whatsoever. Yeah. Do the Afro Samurai voice. Yeah, do the Afro Samurai voice. Do the Afro Samurai voice talking about this product. Do the Afro Samurai voice talking smack about this product.
Okay. You know, as a world-class martial artist, I've had to go all over this world, and I've seen some dumb shit in my life, but never have I seen such a dumb piece of shit as a Beijing. Some guy from Israeli tried to come up to me and say, let me look at my new style. It will defeat your Western style. So I just punched him in his throat and dropped him like a little bitch. Wasn't even a fight. It was just full-on bully.
But it had good music, though, right?
It had a great sound. It reminded me of my porch back home.
That was good. What was the...
And with all the Beijings, I shall become the number one hipster in the world.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's just fall apart here at the end. That's great. So, just to cover it, all right, guys, lights on for Lizzie. That's the serious one. That's the one really need to go and check out. It really is sad. I mean, the little girl, she was allegedly very badly treated and murdered by her uncle. It's really sad. The controller, think that Pork is 100% behind that one. He likes that one.
Yeah.
He's getting a Beijing for his bedroom, is what I just heard.
Yeah.
There's the white power symbol. We're going to get kicked off for the fourth time. I saw it. You can't be throwing them white power symbols up like that. So,
honey, let me play you a sexy song.
That's the kind of the symbol. Oh, no, don't. The
machine. Look at the reverb.
Oh, that's why they buy it, for the reverb. Yeah. we're doing a new talk show. I guess we're gonna doing it on what, Thursday nights? Is that when we're gonna be doing it?
Somewhere like
a Wednesday or Thursday, but it's gonna be weekly and it's gonna be on Alijreyu, Alijreyu. That's gonna be where Pork and I just talk shit for like 2 hours. You missed the inaugural episode last week. It was a good one. We told you the story. Once again, I think I said this earlier, but we told you the story of Iron Eagle over the course of a couple
Still
hours.
Still haven't seen it.
You know, you've seen
it.
It's on Prime. Iron Eagle's on Prime. We're looking for an interview with Lou Gossett Jr. If anybody knows Lou Gossett Jr., we'd love to talk to him. Academy Award winner, classically trained. Master of the motivational 80s speech, Lou Gossett Jr. He really is. Those speeches are awesome, dude. Like, why are you even here? And then fucking, the one on Iron Eagle, dude. Never met a finer group of individuals in my entire illustrious military career. See, he sounds like Obama, dude. Like, I'm telling you, he
never
sounds
have
like
I met an illustrious group of people.
This is such a wonderful group of individuals.
Because I'm Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah. No, you see, you haven't seen Iron Eagle, so you can't do the voice. It doesn't work.
I can't
that
do
way.
It like that. No.
But to everybody that's watched, Sass, thanks for stopping by and being in the chat. And
Sass is top fan. He comes by a lot.
Well, that's because he's a brilliant, not only is he a man's man and a brilliant human being, and he says crowdfunded pod the best way of anybody on this planet. He's a great Fortnite player, and you should go check his channel out. SASLAMBO. Sass.
Oh, you play Fortnite? My name is I Am Porkchop. Find me. Work with me. Let's network.
Do you really play Fortnite?
I have saved the world. Like, I bought the thing.
Yeah, you did? Okay. Good for you. Like everyone else on the planet, you're not special. Oh, STW. All right, yeah, I think we'll wrap it up. But tune in to Al Adreyu, and for the other, we're just talking shit for 2 hours talk show, and then tune in every Sasso's Elijah. Thank you for adding me, and then every other Sunday, 4 p.m. Mountain Daylight, we do the crowdfunding pod, and so not next week, but the week after that. Be sure to check out all the links in the chat. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday afternoon. We appreciate you stopping by.